Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
916-909-1320. James Hamm, by the way, is scheduled to join us. It'll just probably be a little later than usual, about 15 to 20 minutes or so. Hammer will be with us. Let's get to DJ here on the phone lines, 916-909-1320. What's up, DJ?
KC, D-Lo, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man? How you doing, DJ?
Man, I just wanted to start, yes, Elon Musk definitely ruined Twitter. Yeah, I say that as I'm sitting in my Tesla Model Y driving down the freeway.
Well, that's fine.
It's, you know what I mean? It's a totally different thing.
And no, the
got one thing. No,
trust me, the hypocrisy is not lost on either one of us.
Well, as I'm sitting in my car yesterday, driving down the freeway, trying to turn the game on the station that shall not be named, they're saying my location's in the wrong spot, and I don't have access to listen to the game. So now I got to race on the 50 freeway back home to get there, but that's neither here nor there. That was actually last week, because yesterday I went to the game. G1C was electric, as we guys knew it would be. And, you know, I live in West Sac, so for me, I just hop on my bike, ride down to go to One Center, and I'm riding past Rayleigh's Field, or I don't know what they call it nowadays, but I'm like, we're riding right past, the A's are going to be here, I'm riding over Tower Bridge, there's music playing, people are out, we're excited, Sacramento is up right now, and the Bay, they kind of down right now, let's just call it what it is, so it's a good time to be in Sacramento, man. I'm rocking with the Kings, Keon Ellis is something that we just have been able to develop over the course of this year. Has been so amazing for this team. Obviously, we still have to develop if we want to take that next step and mold our roster the way we need to kind of do to be a serious, serious contender. But I'm enjoying the ride right now, despite the way the regular season ended. And Friday, I think we seriously got a shot. Go Kings.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you,
yes,
DJ.
Sir. Appreciate you, DJ.
No, we would never mess up your ability to listen to the game. Just know that.
No, we ain't doing that. That's not
that would never happen with Odyssey.
That's not what happened over here. Odyssey is premier, top level, top shelf.
That's what we do.
Know what that is. So, you know, just Just remember that.
No bargain basement stuff over here.
Remember that.
And I know there are some people in the organization listening. Just know.
Yeah, you'd be in good hands with Odyssey. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is. Also, Sac is up right now. Sac is up. Sac is booming right now. But I don't want to put down the Bay Area. I love the Bay Area. So, you know, Sac can be up and we can still got love for the Bay. I ain't got no issue with the Bay. And then lastly, just want to say, as we check in daily, I saw my man last night, Ben. He says the 2022 title is looking funny in the light.
Well, that's got to be a record. That's got to be about 2.5 hours, 2 hours. Yeah, we appreciate you, Ben.
I saw Ben last night in traffic, man. Yeah, that's my dog, man. That's my dog. Everybody.
He was just getting to the game, and you was just leaving.
No. Yeah, we was trying to navigate through them concourses. Man, I don't know what happens, because there's a sellout every night at the Golden 1 Center, a sellout every single night.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's packed for a game in January. You know what I mean? It is booming. Mm-hmm. Something about these playoff games feels like there's 5,000 more people there.
Well, you know what I think it is? I think the times that people move around is different.
Mm.
I think it's the same number of people there the whole time. But if you're at a game in January, there's a possibility you're going to be at a game a week later or 2 weeks later. Or you're going to be at a game in February, or you're just there hanging out with your boys or your girls or whatever. So you guys are going to get drinks. You're wandering around the concourse. You're running over to the team store.
Yeah.
When it's a postseason game, you're watching the game. Like, you're there for the game. You're not there for the Golden 1 Center. You're not there for the atmosphere. So when you go to, you know, make your rounds at halftime, everybody's getting up because they didn't go to the bathroom with 7 minutes left in the half or whatever.
Good point.
I think it's just the time of when people move that changes.
That's a good point.
And I'm sure you were mobbed by so many people. It's hard to.
Yeah, they kept asking me where you were at.
I don't believe that to be true whatsoever.
Like, where's D-Lo? Bro, he's not with me today. Yeah. I had to say that like 17 times.
You probably had to say it twice.
Not true.
One of them was probably to Sarah Hodges or Jake Gayton, one or the other.
I didn't see Jake yesterday. Well, doesn't Jake sit? He sits a little more inward where I can't.
Yeah,
he's
tucked over. He's tucked over. Y'all want to win a gift card, a $500 gift card? This is what you need to do. Take the word halftime. Head over to ESPN1320.com. You'll see the Nothing But Net giveaway. Enter it right there. The key word for today is halftime.
Halftime.
Head over to ESPN1320.com right now. Enter that keyword on the Nothing But Net giveaway, and boom.
Let's get
you
it.
Enter to win a $500 gift card just like that.
There you go. Oh, man.
Halftime, when Kenny gets mobbed by his fans.
Well, that's not.
The keyword is halftime.
It's not happening. People show up. I saw a lot of people. That's another reason why I like going to the Kings games, man. Like I've said a number of different times, it's like a communal like meeting ground, which is what Vivek has always said about the thing. But you see all these people, right? Like people from, you know, your high school or people that you met on Twitter, people that you met in real life, all this other stuff, the ushers and everybody that, you know, we've come to know. It's just a good time out. I saw and ended the night last night seeing the local guy in one respect. And then I saw a girl, Jill Adge, as well, man. So that was always cool.
Jill.
Too. Yeah.
Jill, that's the big homie.
Yeah. Good times.
Okay. All right. I watched, I actually rarely do this. I watched a little bit of the post-game show and then flipped over to NBA TV because I wanted to watch the press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I normally watch the press conferences the next day. But, man, everyone was saying the right things last night.
Mm-hmm.
From Mike, you know, on down, no one seemed, and I know it's just when you look for mentalities, right? Like you just look for certain things. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron, I think, said this on the broadcast. De'Aaron, even after the win, because he had said this, I think, after Portland, even after the win last night, holding Baby Rain looking funny at the camera. This is probably what he was saying when she looked funny. We put ourselves in this position.
Mm-hmm.
we put ourselves in this position where we had to play this game. We put ourselves in this position where we have to win another game. All this means is, because Chris was asking about the Warriors and all of this, and De'Aaron said, it just put us in a position to take the first step towards our goal. Goal, not even making the playoffs. Yeah. The goal is advancing in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But they put themselves in a position, as De'Aaron noted, where we have to win games before we even get there. Mm. It could mean nothing. Mm-hmm. Because your level of focus may not matter when you're going against a team that's perpetually 6'10 and extremely physical. Mm-hmm. But I look at this team and I love their focus. I love the way they responded to the Warriors, because we, fans, media, so on, talk about how emotional those games with the Warriors are. Yeah. I was the guy, one of a few, who was frustrated by the preseason loss at the hands of Steph Curry. You got the Klay game. You got the Malik game. You got the, I can't remember if the Malik game and the De'Aaron Steele game were the same, but there was one, there's 1-point games everywhere, right? And they're all emotionally taxing. Maybe that's one of the benefits to the 20-point win last night, is equally, we talked last year, Game 7, the 20-point loss, you get to the fourth quarter and there's a realization and an understanding that it's over. And you start to process your thoughts. And for us, it's how we deal with Butch and Bonte and Marcus Thompson and our crew who, you know, covers the Golden State Warriors, right? We're able to process it. We even talked about it with the players, how introspective the players could be knowing it's over. Mm-hmm. There could have been a certain level of that to them last night, the fact that it didn't come down to Steph losing the ball or De'Aaron stealing the ball or Malik hitting a crazy shot or anything happening at the very, very end of the game. You get a little bit into the fourth quarter and there's this, all right, we got him. We did it. The exhale is taking place on the court, mm-hmm. on the bench, and then there's the, all right, New Orleans.
Yeah, that's it, man. And, you know, and they were able to do that last night, right? Like you just kind of laid out, like they were able to do that a little bit earlier, you know, as a, like you said, as opposed to a 1-point win, and then you got to go talk to people and you're just exhausted or you're excited or you're feeling some type of way. You got to get to the realization that, all right, this is finished. We accomplished this. We got to start getting our minds ready for the game on Friday. And this team's extremely focused, man. It's just, whether they make it there or not, they've stayed consistent with what their goal is, and they know what it is. They haven't said, well, you know, if we get in there, maybe we can do some stuff, and you know, we could be happy. No, I'll promise you this. They're not happy to just get in, because that's not their goal. Their goal, whether we look at them crazy or not, their goal is to win a championship and compete for a championship, whether it gets to a conference championship or the NBA or something like that. That's what they're playing for. And, hey, man, salute to them. I love that. I love that mentality. I love how they get after it and stay locked in on that goal at hand. So, get another win, and you get another step closer to your goal, like you said.
And we'll talk more about that when James Hamm joins us, when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you have any thoughts? Well, we talk a little bit more about the Kings, close this thing out. Do you have any thoughts on the games today?
Yeah, Leezy asked earlier about the Heat in the 76ers.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Sixers.
I kind of was leaning towards the Heat.
Mm.
But at the same time, I can't imagine Philadelphia. I know we joke about it. I can't imagine Philadelphia really missing the playoffs. Not that if they lose tonight, they'll miss the playoffs, but still, I can't envision them missing the playoffs.
Somebody said, like on Twitter the other day, said, and it sucks, we all kind of know why it happened, but they're like, how you start 30-13 and don't get 50 wins?
Crazy. Well, I mean, there's a reason they did.
There is a reason, but
Joe missed most of those games.
Yeah.
He missed a lot of games.
Missed a lot of games, but I'm just saying, you only needed 20 more wins.
I hear you. I don't know how much more, like, because I was thinking, we could hold it off till tomorrow. But, you know, we lay out the shows here live. And tomorrow, like Friday, we vibing because we're at Sky River Casino, yeah. 32 Bruce Street. If you're 21 and over, come through, hang out with us, man. We'd love to have you. We'd love to see you. We'd love for you to be a part of the live show. 12-4, we will get you ready for the Kings,
yes.
And the Pelicans. People have been asking, is it a watch party now? You're at 32 Bruce Street. There's 70 TV screens. There's amazing food and beer. Why would you leave?
Mm-hmm.
You can stay right there. And, of course, we'll hang out with you for a good chunk of time after the show because Lord knows I'm going to be eating and drinking as well. But I didn't know, and you could tell me what you think. Is there a long discussion regarding what happened with DeJounte Porter?
I don't think so. I mean, it's something to talk about, but it seems pretty cut and dry, right? Like he gambled, they found out, and you've got to go forever.
Yeah, it felt like this was where we were trending when Adam spoke last week.
Mm-hmm.
Normally you hear, now you got to go.
Okay. Which DeJounte Porter, it's for me, it's one of those things where I don't want to say they wouldn't do it for any, you know, LeBron or something like that, because I do believe they would. But DeJounte, it's easy to throw the book at him.
All right, hot tag. I'm back.
Oh, R-Truth.
R-Truth. Hot tag. All right. No, what Adam said a couple of days ago that he was contemplating a ban for life. Mm-hmm. It was clear they knew what they had then.
Because
mm-hmm. normally it's, well, we're investigating and we're going to hold off all. Adam knew that day.
Right.
This dude's cooked.
We have enough evidence,
man. This dude's done.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking before the show. And it's he might not be a example for the NBA. He might be an example for sports.
Mm-hmm.
With sports betting being so regular.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is a part of, you know, DraftKings, you know, BetQL, all of these different things are tied into sports leagues now. It's a regular part of being a sports fan. Okay. Well, we got one.
Mm-hmm.
and we're going to make an example. So NFL, Calvin Ridley, guys who have placed bets and different things that have got, take note.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball, y'all see what's going on with Ohtani's interpreter. See all of that stuff? Take note. We throwing dudes out of the league for this.
So did it, and that's what you have to do, especially with the gambling being so easily accessible for the country now. Yeah. You know, before it was like, you know, you can gamble and people get mad about gambling and stuff like that, but it was almost secluded to Vegas,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, if I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's not a lot that I have on the line when it comes to gambling. You know, you got your stuff locally, whatever you do, but you know, it's not going to affect me. But now that everybody can go on their phone and people are really betting on it and they're putting like real money on it on a daily basis, you got to make sure your league's on the up and up. 100%. And yeah, you look at somebody like Porter and you say, there's any inkling that you may have done something. You're gone forever. We don't do this in our league.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
And
it doesn't hurt that DeJounte was a two-way player. It
doesn't hurt at all.
Who didn't really play. Like, and you didn't have to make an example out of a, you know, an 82 game starter for the last 5 years. And I don't say that tongue-in-cheek, like I'm dead serious. Like, I think it's harder to make an example out of Michael Porter versus DeJounte Porter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, maybe there's somebody that's doing all this right now, has been doing it for years, and is like, yep, I got to figure it out. Nobody can catch me. But DeJounte, like, what do you think was going to happen? Like, especially from what I read or whatever, like you were putting so many bets down, like,
and that's the,
what did you think was going
to
happen?
That's the other side to you being Jonte Porter and not, you know, Keegan Murray, bro. You don't play. Like, who's putting action on you?
Right.
Nobody putting action on what you're doing.
I mean,
all of a sudden, $80,000 bets are cashing in for what they say 1.1.
Yeah. That's to the point where, number one,
hey, it's a good hustle if you're willing to risk the jail time.
It's right. Like, you may have a gambling problem, right? So there's that. But that's just stupid. It's just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think was going to happen? You were going to get away with this? You were going to do it for the rest of your career? Like, what did you think? And maybe he was like, one more bet and I'll stop. You know, maybe that's what happened. And he kept doing it, but. Yeah, it was only a matter of time before you, sir, were getting caught.
He had to have gotten. That was the bet, right? Someone placed a bet on something. It was like an $80,000 bet, yeah, and it paid out at 1.1.
And I remember Trista came and broke it down, and the trends were crazy. There was so much random traffic on his point totals or over-unders or whatever. Come on, man.
The bet, which was placed at DraftKings, was not paid. So what was the idea there? You get a cut? Because that's the game he left.
Mm. Yeah, I would
probably. You get a cut of that? That was against the Kings, by the way.
It was against the Kings.
Yeah.
Oh, the one in Toronto or the one here?
It was March 20th.
Yeah,
that was Toronto.
I remember him. I don't know if he was on my radar for this story or just – I always, because he's Porter Jr.'s brother. I remember him being in Missouri, so I always, like, take note of him.
Played 2 minutes and 43 seconds in that game. Left ill.
Yeah.
The bet wasn't paid, but my question is, what was the idea? You was going to get a cut of that, and that's how you was going to make your money in the league? You didn't think anyone would notice?
Well, somebody put it out there, and I don't know if it's true. Maybe it's a Chatty House situation, but it's like he's making like $2.5 million as an NBA salary.
Mm-hmm.
And he made like $21,000 with these bets.
$21,000, yeah.
What? So that's, and that leads me, and I don't want to, I don't want to make too much light of it and be like, you're stupid, this and that. Because to me, clearly, that says you have a problem. You have a gambling problem.
Yeah.
Because that's not even, maybe you're just not that bright, but that's not even smart.
Bring in James. Like, yeah, to me, though, what was it, 13 bets? That's not a problem.
Well, maybe you're just not bright.
50 bets. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Being dumb is a problem.
Yeah.
As we welcome in our insider from the insiders, our man James Hamm. James, are you riding high after the win last night, or are you even keel? Bill Belichick. Oh, we got to talk about that tomorrow. That was a wild story this morning. The Bill Belichick story?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, like
football makes its return to D'Lo and Casey.
There's stories out there. Well, I mean, we got a day between games. Like, we might be able to fit that in. James,
college
are
football
you
playoff expansion tomorrow?
One day. James, are you riding high or are you on to New Orleans?
No, I am riding high. I think that there's good reason to be positive. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win tomorrow or not, or whatever, on Friday or not. I have no idea what's going to happen. And if I tried to tell you that I knew what was going to happen with this team, I'd be lying to you. And I don't do that. So, but I think there are so many good things that came out of that game that you just can point to moving forward and say, look, that happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for starters, Keegan Murray became a star, like right in front of our eyes. Just that's who everybody's been waiting for. And boom, he does it. He's got to figure out how to do that more often. But to have him do it on that stage, under those circumstances, was like, okay, that is a really, really good sign for the Sacramento Kings moving forward. But the other one is Keon Ellis. Like, I've been waiting for a moment. Like, I had been pretty sure that, look, I think he's earned a starting job next season, and he's at least earned the opportunity to have that role, or maybe like be in a really good competition for that starting job. But you walk into a game like that as a guy who converted as a two-way player midway through the season, and you put up 15 points and 5 assists and 4 rebounds and 3 blocks and 3 steals, and you just take it to one of the greatest players of all time in Steph Curry. Like, that was so incredibly impressive, and something that realistically I think it changes. You know, you talk about moments that change somebody's ceiling. We had it with him with the 26-point performance where he hits 8 threes, but this was on a different level. I mean, when you have a player who comes into, again, a high-pressure situation and nothing bothers him and he just goes to work, that's why I think Kings fans should be riding high. You know, whatever happens on Friday, you learn some new things about your team in a huge game.
Yeah, James, I'm kind of with you. I asked the question earlier, and I'll ask it to you as well. Or just kind of brought up the statement. I guess it wasn't as much of a question. But, you know, win or lose tomorrow, it feels like there is something positive to take out of what they found out, I believe, and what they put together right now. Because I think right now, with Keon Ellis being in the fold, whatever, you know, is going on with Davion Mitchell and getting him to play a certain type of way, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, I think navigating through all this has allowed Mike Brown to find the type, to finally mold the type of team that he wants. A tough, physical, defensive team, not just ignoring offense, but a team that is tough and physical and versatile on the defensive end. And I think they've established that. They didn't have this type of identity maybe 3-4 months ago. I think they have it now, and I think it's going to stay with them. That's more of a Mike Brown type of team. And now you've established that, come hell or high water this year, and now you work around that when you're trying to build this team in the offseason. But they were able to get to this point that they weren't at, I don't think, 2-3 months ago. And I think that's a positive to take away, regardless of what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, there is something to what Mike has been saying the whole time, that, like, look, he's not here to win a playoff game or to have a 48-win season or 46-win season. He's here in Sacramento to try to win a championship. And in order to win a championship, you have to actually play defense. And it's something that, you know, again, I think everybody loves the fun running up and down, scoring frenetic pace, Sacramento Kings. But there's got to be some sort of substance to who you are. And that's what Mike has been searching for. It's sort of the substance. Like, you have to have something more. And all of a sudden, the light bulb has gone off on this team. And let's not, like, part of the light bulb going off is Keon Ellis. You know, like, a change in the starting lineup that makes you just a better defensive team. And, like, one player can make a huge difference. And then I think people feed off of his energy as well, because he's a high energy type player. And so, like, look, I don't know where this leads, and I will tell you that Mike has been telling us the whole time that in order for us to take this next leap, it has to be on the defensive end. And now we're starting to see what he's talking about. You know, not that I didn't believe him or anything else, but I think when you look at some of the other teams out there, even like the Golden State Warriors, who they faced last night, like, the Warriors couldn't play defense like the Kings could play defense last night. And, like, maybe that's an aberration. Maybe they just had a really bad game. But the fact that they turned the ball over so many times was because the Kings were all over them. You know, like, where they have 17 turnovers, and of those 17, 10 of them were steals. And so that's a big deal. And how many deflections did we see from the Kings last night? Like, the way they played last night, if they play that way on Friday, they will win. And if they play that way, if they win on Friday and they play that way next week, that is going to be one hell of a 7-game series against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, and that's what, again, it's what Mike has been building towards the whole year. It's playoff defense.
Yeah. And you think they got that figured out? You think they got the yeah, well, I'll keep that term. You think they got the playoff defense part of this figured out?
I think they understand it.
Because to,
like,
me,
whether they, like, can match it again.
Yeah, but they were really good defensively, and that can't be taken away. Like, we could talk about Clay and Steph, and but it's also an equal portion of they shot 46% from three. Like, they hit 18 of 39, and they didn't put up like a mind-numbing number of points last night, but it felt like they'd been stuck, with the exception of the Blazers game, at 107 forever. Yeah, they got to 118, which is above the threshold we always set to where the Kings are winning games if they get to this number. They got above that number last night. So it was like, Hammer, did the defense create the offense? Was a combination of the defense and the offense? And this is what I often wonder, did the shots falling motivate them on the defensive end? Because we always talk about them doing something on the defensive end, motivating them on the offensive end, or potentially leading to points. Sometimes I wonder if it's the other way around, and Keon's getting those shots to drop. Domas is aggressive early. Keegan, obviously ridiculous yesterday. Did that lead to what we saw on the defensive end?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I don't expect you to know the answer to that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But I would tell you that they have so many fast break points early on, and that was because of the defense. I mean, Keon getting steal after steal, that play where Fox just chased Wiggins around a screen and then picked his pocket and went down and dunked. Again, Keon one-on-one against Steph Curry just picks him clean and goes down for a bucket. Like, those are things that this team should be able to do because they're long, they're athletic at the guard position. They have speed and quickness at the guard position. Not so much at the three and the four or the five, but that front line, I think what they've all of a sudden they've developed is a really strong defensive identity, whether it's, again, like Keon, De'Aaron, Davion. Even when Malik is in the game, he's a gambler and he comes away with big time steals all the time. So I think that the defense is what fueled everything. But I also will tell you that all day long and the day before, all they talked about was physicality. Like, we're going to come in there, we're going to be physical. That's what we're going to do. And that's what I felt. Like, it, like, while you're watching that game, it's not like they were pushing people. It's that they were the ones to every 50-50 ball. They were the ones that were getting to all the rebounds. They were getting so many second chance points. they just out-hustled, out-worked, and out-physicaled a team that, you know, is typically the one that pushes them around. So, like, lots to be excited about with that. It's just, can you bottle it, and can you take it into the next game? Can you bottle it? Can you take it into a series? And can you have everybody step up? And that's, you know, I guess what you're saying, like, you hit all these threes, but look at how they got those threes. They got those threes because they were in transition all the time. They had the Warriors defense chasing them at all times because of the transition. And then they got a bunch of wide open looks. Like, the Warriors were not, they were not ready for Keegan Murray to come out firing. Mm. They weren't ready. You know, even just the way that they set up their defense, they weren't ready for Keegan. They weren't ready for Keon Ellis to be a player. They weren't even ready, it didn't seem like, when Harrison Barnes decided he was going to take over the game. They weren't ready for that either. So maybe it was the Warriors, but I definitely think that it's something that you've got to try to repeat, because that is the winning formula right there. You just saw it.
Well, talking a little bit about that game again last night, I do feel like, because we've covered it from a number of different angles, but, man, maybe some flowers or specific flowers are in order, man, because I don't think we've really, at least on this show, we've really dove into what Keegan Murray did last night. You know, Keegan.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Keegan was.
That's a fair point.
Phenomenal, man. 32 points, 9 rebounds on the night as well, guarding Steph Curry. Yeah. 8 threes. I mean, it felt like every time it was time for a big three or something got kicked out to him or whatever, he knocked down the three, you know, and he'd advance lead from 4 to 7 or from 9 to 12 or something like that. He was so good. And I talked to him on the handoff about it. This felt like it might have been one of those moments where we could all take an exhale when it comes to Keegan Murray and say, nah, he's who we hoped he was. He's going to be what we hoped he was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's what so many people came away with after that game. It's like, okay. Like, and to have Keegan have like the mindset that he came into that game, he was hunting shots. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen him do that. We saw it in the Utah game where he went for 47, just flat out hunting. And for him to take 10 shots in the first quarter, that was just as big as how many shots he hit. You know, that's what you have to have from him. And again, I thought the Warriors were totally caught off guard by it. There was a moment where, like, someone ran out on him on a three, and he blew right by him and went for like a high arcing shot off the glass. There was just, he kept showing more and more wrinkles to his game, and I think everyone was super happy for him, but they also sensed what was happening, and they fed him. And again, for some reason, the Warriors didn't make any adjustments at all when it came to Keegan. And for that matter, all they did to me, I respect Steve Kerr. I think he's a great coach. I mean, surefire, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer coach. But his decisions in that game were just baffling. Every time Moses Moody started doing something, he'd pull him and go back to Clay. And it just didn't make any sense. And you know, we had conversations all around, like, why does he keep doing this? And I, you know, like, sitting by Slater, he goes, like, look, man, the guy won you 4 championships. It's like, yeah, but he ain't winning you a 5th. That 4 championships are nice. You got those rings in a safe somewhere. But I just thought the coaching from the other side, they didn't adapt at all to what Keegan was doing. They didn't adapt at all to, you know, they seemed like they were so hyper-focused on trying to slow down Sabonis and maybe limit Fox a little bit, that they just let everybody else kind of have their way.
It almost felt like they didn't know who Keon Ellis was either.
Man, they were as confused as the TNT crew was. Felt like Steve was searching last night, Hammer. He was doing what Mike Brown does when Colby Jones is playing, or Chris Duarte, with all due respect to those brothers. Like, when sometimes when you see them go in games, Mike is looking for something. One thing that I think Mike does really well, though, and this is what you were talking about with Moses Moody, is sometimes when Mike finds something, he stays with it. And sometimes that's the detriment to someone else's ego. But that's essentially how he got Keon Ellis into the position that he is. We've talked as the season was concluding, how so many of the Kings' year-long frustrations are just manifesting themselves in the final week, from three-point defense to free throws to whatever. I felt like it was Steve last night. Like, how often have we heard Warriors fans? How often have we heard, you know, Bonte and the people who cover the Warriors on a day-in, day-out basis talk about, that was the thing with Klay Thompson and Kuminga, right? Like, why does he continue to go back to Klay? That was the question last night. It just wasn't Jonathan Kuminga this time. It was Moses Moody. And everything, and it's like we talk about all the time how things just wind up working themselves out, right? That was the story of the Warriors' entire season. It all took place last night in the confines of a 48-minute game, where if Steph can't be Steph, you can't win.
Yeah, and let's be honest, Steph wasn't Steph because the Kings took away so much. That wasn't just Steph having a bad shooting night.
Yeah.
Steph couldn't shoot. He couldn't get a shot off because they were right there. Like everywhere he went, they were tracking him. Even late in the game, I think Sabonis picked up his fourth foul, fourth or fifth, defending Steph going to the basket. Like every single person on that team was so locked in at stopping him and not letting him have that moment. And then what you had was a bunch of other guys. Like, first of all, like Klay couldn't hit a shot. So we can just like, whatever happened to Klay, you know, it's happened before. We saw it last year in game six and game seven. Yeah, he just absolutely forgot how to play basketball last night. But the other guys that they're trying to rely on, they're not reliable players. Like, as far as an offensive weapon, Draymond Green, like he came out, he hit a three in the first, like, 5 seconds of the game, 10 seconds of the game.
Yeah, can't lie. That made me a little nervous.
I said, wait a minute.
That made me a little nervous.
No. Then he hit the side of the backboard.
Yeah, but the problem that you have is that the same goes for Wiggins. You can't depend on Wiggins at all. Like, depending on Wiggins, like, you know, banking on Harrison Barnes scoring 17 points. Like, it's just, you can't bank on it at all. And then on top of that, the way that Kuminga scores, or at least the way that he scored last night, it just felt so like it wasn't dangerous. Like, it doesn't matter how many mid-range jump shots he has go in that are off balance and weird. You just didn't fear it. Like, if he's like spin move and hammering on somebody, and he does that once or twice, and then all of a sudden they get him in a couple of like alley-oop situations and pick roll situations, and he's just going off, and you're like, how do we stop this kid? That's one thing, but that's not how he was scoring last night. What he was doing is like these really awkward and almost like Sabonis kept backing off of him. And again, it just felt like it wasn't sustainable. And that's where I think most of what the Warriors did all night long felt like it was okay. Like, what here is sustainable that you're doing that could possibly make you think you can climb out of a giant hole that they dug for themselves?
Now, it's interesting you say that, Ham, because I feel the same way about Kuminga. Very talented, future is bright, but I don't feel like he's somebody that you would build your franchise around. And I'm watching the game last night, and he's going to work. He's getting buckets on Sabonis. But I was like, okay. To me, I guess the outlook was, that's one less possession where Steph could get a three, a backbreaking three. Like, Kuminga's not going to beat the Kings tonight. He may have 25. It's not going to beat the Kings. And I'm not going to say, like, I was okay with him making shots, but I never felt like the Kings were in danger because Kuminga was getting shots.
Yeah. Again, go ahead and shoot. If that's how you're going to beat the Kings, you know. And again, the Kings were trading baskets. Number one, that the Warriors got to a point where they're down 15 and they're trading baskets. They weren't stopping anybody. But also, a lot of their stuff wasn't sustainable, and the Kings were shooting and hitting threes, and they're shooting and hitting wide open threes. Like, I think maybe Keon had one where it was like, holy cow, where did that come from? And even like the Kings didn't play a mistake-free game, but you can almost remember every mistake. And, you know, like the Alex Len mistake, which ends up being like a flagrant foul and three free throws. And even then they didn't capitalize. They hit one out of two on free throws. And then I don't think they scored after they got the ball back. So there was all this like momentum for the Kings that was positive, and very few like just horrible mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, I think that, you know, Golden State just, they made a ton and the Kings forced them into a ton. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though like the one play where Chris Paul just bounces the ball right into the first row. Like, what mm-hmm. are you doing? Like, it didn't make any sense. And then you watch Keon Ellis, you're like, huh, look at that. Keon Ellis is in a two-man game with Sabonis. Oh, there he goes. He's going up the right side. Wait, did he just throw the ball behind his back right to Sabonis? Like, the whole time we're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
I thought that was the fun part of it, is that you're seeing some of these guys start to like get comfortable and start to show more and more and more of who they are. And that's, Keon Ellis, he's got all kinds of game that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Well, continue to sing the praises of Keon if you want to, because the TNT crew was baffled at who this young man was playing so well for the Sacramento Kings. They knew the story. They knew Kevin Huerter wasn't playing. They spoke a lot more about Malik Monk not playing than they did Kevin Huerter, but they seemed genuinely baffled by the way Keon Ellis was playing and how last night felt like a coming out party for him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the Kings have been on national television a lot, even in the second half of the season.
I think with the same crew as well.
Yeah, that's their crew.
Which is what made it a little bit more perplexing.
Yeah, you had plenty of opportunity to actually watch him. But I'd also say, like, look, like the coverage of the team isn't as robust as it was in the past. And the fact is that, you know, you can get national guys in here to write some big stories about Malik winning Sixth Man of the Year or Sabonis or Fox. But by the time you get to Keon Ellis, there's no one writing that story. And there's, you know, and that's a problem. And so I want to just blame it all on them for not doing their homework. But like, who are they reading that's written the definitive work on Keon Ellis? And you know what, I got a one-on-one with him like a couple of weeks ago and we had a good conversation and you write some stuff there, but like there's not that much to go off of. And even Fox, like in the middle of his conversation last night, we were asking about, you know, Keon and how well he's playing and all that, how he stepped up. And he just threw it out there. Yeah, just could you imagine playing against him and Herb Jones on mm-hmm. Alabama? And I think everyone's like, oh man, I forgot he like those two played together. Like,
yeah.
and that's something that's, I think it's just kind of the way it's going right now in Sacramento. And you got to find a way to get the coverage up there. And, you know, clearly they should be listening to our show.
Yes.
And your show.
Yeah. Everybody should.
That would help them. But at the same time, like so many people are used to doing their homework off the written word. And when it's not there, it's a bummer. You know, they're not looking on YouTube to find clips. At least I don't think Stan Van Gundy is, to find clips that I've put up of Keon Ellis talking after practice.
Hmm. By the way, I heard Hammer on Inside the NBA yesterday. He asked Keegan a question. I was like, look, that's James Ham. Shout out to James. Mm-hmm. Real quick.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah. Real quick, a couple of different bouquet of flowers, you know, before everything's all said and done. We mentioned when he does nothing, well, and we, you know, hammer that story for 4 hours.
Some of us do.
Harrison Barnes was really big, especially late in the second half yesterday. 17 points, 4 rebounds for Harrison Barnes last night. He was 3 of 4 from beyond the arc, 5 of 11 from the field. Like I said, timely. You know, he hit all 4 of his free throws. He was really good last night. I love the way he played. I love that for him, obviously, going against the Warriors, being able to knock that team out in their season has got to feel good for him. And also the other one, nobody really mentions it because Kings didn't lose, I guess, and doesn't necessarily fit the narrative. But Domas, just the Domas game, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, almost another triple-double,
yeah.
And no mention from Kevin O'Connell or anybody else.
I don't think we mentioned Domantas Sabonis' name once today.
I don't think so either.
Kevin O'Connell, you know what, man, was moved by Keon, though.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad to see that he's finally watched a game. when it comes to Domas, like, first of all, like, Harrison Barnes had a good game. He had a really rough start to the game where he kept trying to take people off the dribble and throw,
yeah,
like, weird shots, like off the glass, that did not work. But there was a moment where, you know, I'm writing my six quick thoughts and I got to, I had even Steven, because there was a moment where both Wiggins and Barnes were stuck at 8 points and 3 rebounds and 2 assists, both of them. And that's kind of like, hey, like if you can be even Steven with Wiggins coming out of this game with Harrison Barnes, it's probably a good thing. I mean, that means that he didn't go crazy like we've seen him do in the past, although I don't know that he's capable of doing that anymore. But the fact that Harrison then like hit the nitro button and finished that team, I thought, number one, it's a great thing for him to sort of exercise the demons, because no one feels worse than Harrison about missing the three in game four last year. No one. And so for him to get that moment where he's part of the reason why they put them away, I thought that was huge for him. But with Domas, I think we should all look at his numbers from last night. Yeah. Do you want him to make one or two more buckets? Sure. But that's kind of, if you've got Keegan going for 20 field goal attempts, and you've got Harrison, I mean, you've got 25 out of Davion Mitchell, and I mean, not Davion, out of De'Aaron Fox, and you got 11 shots out of Harrison Barnes, and 8 or 9 out of Keon Ellis. I think that's the type of game that this team can be really successful. You know, a 16-point, 12-rebound, 7-assist, 18-point game from Domas, where he doesn't have to carry all of that offensive, like, scoring punch, mm-hmm. as long as everybody else is kicking in.
Well, the guy is getting black eyes during the game.
No, this is not a lie.
He 7 of 14 is 50% from, that's just like a bordering on inefficient night for Domas.
Yeah.
Like it's 14 shots. Normally you'd be probably in the 20-point range. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had 16, but I mean, we're talking difference of 4 points. That 20 is a big barometer for some of these national media writers. But yeah,
free throws last night. In that physical game.
One black eye, two free throws, huh? Okay.
In that physical game, only two free throws for him.
Yeah, that's the new code word for referees just not calling fouls is, oh, this game's physical. Domas over there, his arm's been ripped off. This is insane.
They threw every look under the sun at him. You know, they started with the young kid. Why am I drawing blank? Trace Jackson Davis. You know, they went to mm-hmm. Looney. They tried to go small. I thought Draymond. The only one who played it well was Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond
did exactly what we said he would do. Draymond did exactly what we all said he would do. And that's where a lot of those seven misses came from, is he'd be a little bit away from the rim, and Draymond would let him have it and shoot it.
And he did, to Domas' credit. He shot it. You know,
yeah, it was what you want, because he can hit that. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I want. 10 times out of 10 from Domas. James, we obviously have a lot of time to talk about this before Friday at 6:30, but what has to be different going into Friday, or what has to be different Friday at 6:30?
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard, but Zion's not playing.
Zion.
Also, yeah.
As Mitch in New Jersey calls him.
Zion?
Brandon Ingram doesn't look like Brandon Ingram right now. Alvarado rolled his ankle, and who knows what's going to happen with him. Like, that's a team that's beat up, but they also have the length, the athleticism, everything that messes with the Kings. And the last time these two teams played and Zion didn't play, they beat the Kings by like 33. You just have to forget the previous five games and go in there. And if you play exactly like you did this last game, you should be in that game, and you have a very good chance to beat them. Okay. They've got all kinds of really solid players, but you know, it's going to come down to who the Kings are, not who they are.
All right. We've got plenty of time to talk about that game coming up on Friday. We got the Bulls and Hawks coming up here at 6:00. But if you want more coverage of the Sacramento Kings beating the Golden State Warriors,
hey.
If you want more coverage of the Sacramento Kings living to fight another day and have an opportunity in this play-in tournament, stick around. We will run it back next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Kings, still light the beam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.